Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Before we begin this new series this morning, I'd like us to just have a quick reminder of the. I remember a few weeks ago on a Sunday evening, I preached a message on the real gospel invitation. The real gospel invitation. And I would like a wee reminder this morning of what the real gospel invitation is. Because gospel means good news. So the real good news invitation in Matthew 11, 28-30 from the Message Translation, Jesus says this: are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Here's the invitation. Come to me, Jesus says. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. So as we go into this new series, as I bring this word to you, the beginning this morning, time to rebuild the church. I believe how you respond to this word will depend on whether your understanding is governed by law or by grace. Because if you hear this word with an understanding that's governed by law, you will feel like you have got to do something. And you'll be under pressure and you'll be carrying a heavy load. And not only will you feel like you've got to, because you know what it's like, this is how it works, folks. If you've got to, then everybody else has got to. But if you hear this word with an understanding that's been enlightened by grace, and that's a good word, enlightened. If you hear this word with an understanding that's been enlightened by grace, you will be excited that you get to do something. And you will be exhilarated and liberated by it. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, two men woke up yesterday around the same time, early in the morning. The first man, he woke in response to his alarm, which was set for 5:30 a.m. And he leaned over and he hit the snooze button, not for the first time. He pulled the covers over his head and he thought, oh no, it's Saturday and I've got to go to work today. The other man, he also had his alarm set for 5:30, but he woke up excited at 5:15. It was actually the third or fourth time he'd woken up. Looked at the clock, it's not 5:30 yet. Oh. But at 5:15 he just decided he couldn't wait for the alarm, so he switched it off and he jumped out of bed and he thought, "Woohoo, yippee! It's Saturday, I get to go fishing today." Anybody understand the difference? See, Jesus came, I believe, to redeem our attitude. He came to deliver us from a got-to attitude and release us into a get-to attitude. Jesus said he would show us how to take a real rest, and then he said we could walk and work with him. That tells me, folks, that in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven, rest and work obviously don't have to be two different things. He says, come to me, I'll show you how to take a real rest. And he says, then we can go out and walk and work together. Because everything that we do is out of the place of rest. So if we're going to have and enjoy the life in all of its abundant fullness that Jesus came that we might have and enjoy, then all we have to do simply is exchange our got to for get to. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you this, it literally makes all the difference in the world. Jesus invites all of us who have been burned out under the pressure of religious got-tos to come to him and learn the unforced rhythms of grace, to learn all of the get-tos. Mm-hmm. See, if you think that you've got to walk with Jesus every day, then all of the pressure is on you to perform accordingly. And that leads to, well, just look around you sometimes and you'll discover that leads to a pretty miserable existence. Mm-hmm. But if you think that you get to walk with Jesus every day, all of the pressure is gone. And all of the pleasure has come because at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore, and there is a joy-filled life.
Yeah.
Amen. I was moving some boxes upstairs yesterday, and in the way, something happened when I was putting one of the boxes down in the spare bedroom, and I was getting around the landing, and I was coming back down the stairs, and something else happened, and I started laughing. And Anna came round the corner from downstairs, she says, "What are you laughing at?" I says, "I'm laughing at pain." She kind of looked at me a bit funny. You see, my knee had gone. Something had just gone in my knee. The pain was excruciating. And I thought, I've got a choice here. Mm-hmm. I could cry in response to my pain and strengthen that pain and its ability to cause me grief, or I could laugh at it. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Amen.
I can hit my pain with strength. So I chose to laugh at it. So I started laughing. Anna came in the corner, "What are you laughing at? Share the joke." I said, "I'm laughing at pain." Hallelujah. I want to tell you, sometimes over the last few weeks, even in there this morning, I was sitting in there and all of a sudden every part of my body began to ache. I've got a choice here.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a choice here. I can start crying, or I can start laughing. I choose to laugh at pain.
Amen.
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 I get to laugh at it.
Yeah.
So I've got to laugh at it. I get to laugh at it.
Yeah.
So I've got to do something about this pain. Yeah, I'm going to do. I get to laugh at it. Amen. We already heard from Ali this morning. Amen. Devil's been humiliated at the cross.
Yeah.
Remember how you humiliate someone? What was you learned it in the playground? Na 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 da 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 da. That's what Jesus did at the cross to the devil. Na 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 na. There's nothing more humiliating than that. There's nothing that would reduce someone to buckets and puddles of tears and that. Just a few people get around and go, nah, nah, nah. Well, don't ever do that to another person, but you can do it to the devil.
Amen.
is it not? What's his name? David Crowder had a song that had nah, 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 nah. I don't think he realised he had it in it, but I recognised it. What was that song again? Is it "I'll Be Even More Undignified Than This"? Is that in there? It has nah, 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 nah in it. Go check it.
Nah, nah, nah.
How does it go?
Nah, nah, nah.
That's it. Na 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 na. Hey, so that's just na 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 with a bit of, you know, a bit of a different rhythm to it. So the first time I heard that song, I thought, yeah, praise the Lord. Somebody put a tune to it. Na 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 na. Na 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 na. Hey! So you got a choice. And I said, "What are you laughing at? Share the joke." I said, "I'm laughing at pain." Hallelujah. That's real. That's as real as it gets. Nobody would ever have known about that if she hadn't asked a question. I wasn't doing that trying to put on a show for anybody. I was responding the only way that the Holy Spirit encourages me to respond. Hallelujah. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Na 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 na. To pain. Na 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 na. Hey! See, if you realise that you've got a get to, not a got to,
yeah,
changes everything. Why don't you say this morning, "I haven't got to."
I
get to.
I get to.
Say, "I haven't got to."
I
get
to.
You see, those with a got to mindset, they translate commands as demands. You need to understand the difference. God doesn't make demands. He gives commands, but he doesn't give demands. Because he's a giver. He doesn't make demands because he's a giver, so he gives commands. And Jesus said that his commandments are life. In John chapter 12, verse 50, from the New Living Translation, it says, Jesus speaking says, "And I know his commands," talking about the Father's commands, "I know his commands lead to eternal life. So I say whatever the Father tells me to say. Because I know that whatever I say will lead to life to those who hear it." Hallelujah. Come on. Say, "I haven't got to."
I haven't got to.
I get to. Say, "I haven't got to."
I haven't got
I get to. Say, I haven't got to. I get to. Hallelujah. So we're going to Haggai this morning. Hallelujah. Haggai chapter 1. And the heading in my Bible is the command to build God's house. It's not a demand, it's a command. Hallelujah. In verse 1 it says, in the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord, say the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet. So they didn't hear a booming voice from heaven. No, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying. So how does the word of the Lord come? It comes prophetically. It comes prophetically. You know, God generally speaks to us as individuals personally. Unless we're not listening or we need to hear confirmation. But when he speaks to the church corporately, he does it prophetically through the prophet. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20, if you want 2020 vision, 2 Chronicles 20:20 says that we should believe in the Lord in order to be established. I want to tell you folks, if anybody asks you, are you in an established church, you tell them yes.
Amen.
I'm in a church established by the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. By the prophetic word of God. You get to do that if you want. But it also says to believe his prophets if we want to prosper. Anybody want to prosper and succeed?
Yeah.
Then it says that we should believe his prophets. We should believe in the Lord in order to be established. We say, oh yes, I believe in the Lord, but I'm not listening to that. No, it says believe his prophets because the Lord speaks through his prophets. Hallelujah. Before you say, well, that's just Old Testament, Paul said that it's through prophecy, through the prophetic word, that the church is built up and edified. He said that the foundation of the church is laid by the apostles and
prophets.
So if you want to have a prophetic vision that comes to pass, then you need to pay attention to the prophetic word. In verse 2 it says, thus speaks the Lord of hosts. The prophet shows up and this is what he says, thus speaks the Lord of hosts. So the prophetic word is not just someone philosophizing. It's not someone just showing up and saying, well, it could be this way, or it could be that way, or it could be the other way, or it could be the way the other fellow said. No, no. He's saying, this is what the Lord says. This is a word to live by. This is what the Lord says. It's the rhema word of God. Remember what Jesus said in his encounter with the devil in the wilderness after his public ministry had been announced? When the Father had spoken over him and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, it says he went into the wilderness and he was there for 40 days and 40 nights and he was tested by the devil. And it says after 40 days of being there, he was hungry and the devil came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, then why will you turn these stones into bread? Jesus answers and responds to that by saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. In the Greek, there is rhema. Every rhema that proceeds from the mouth of God. Every rhema that God speaks. The rhema word is the word that the Holy Spirit lifts from the Logos word. That's all of the written word. And speaks directly into a situation that we are facing. Speaks into an issue that we are dealing with at that point in time. God brings a word. He lifts a word out of the Logos word. It might not even be exactly as the Logos says it, but the Holy Spirit brings it and brings it as a rhema word to you.
Yeah.
The prophetic word, the living rhema word. In Hebrews 4:12 it says the word of God, the rhema of God is living and active. Paul said the letter kills. People who just try and take the Logos and apply it to situations without any Holy Spirit input, very often they can use it as a destructive thing. But the rhema word, it divides, the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, it divides between soul and spirit and it discerns or judges the thoughts and the attitudes of our hearts. In the New Living Translation it says that it exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. So this word that the prophet Haggai brought from the Lord exposed the thoughts of the people regarding the building of the Lord's house. Remember, we've said this over and over and over again over the years. Your thoughts will always eventually influence your words. And in turn, your actions will follow your words. And that will establish your habits. And that will form your character. And ultimately, your character will determine your destiny. And so whether or not the people who were listening to this word, whether they were actually articulating these exact words or not that he goes on to say, I doubt if they were, in fact, because you know those like good religious church folks are usually smarter than that. They don't always say what they're thinking out loud until they let it slip. Then you realise what they really believe, what they really think. But the word of the Lord comes to expose their thoughts, comes to expose their attitudes, their actions, and their habits. And it goes on in Haggai chapter 1 that says that the people are saying, this is what the Lord says, the Lord says the people are saying, this people says the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. That's what they were saying. Inside, on the inside. That's where their thoughts, that was their thoughts. It's not time. It's not time for the Lord's house to be built. Who knows, for the past couple of years, I've been bringing the word that the Lord, I believe a word I received from the Lord, that the Lord is saying to rebuild the church from the ground up. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. How many times have you heard that? Have you been here a while? You've heard that a lot. Remember, we spoke and we came back and we looked at things that we looked at previously, but hadn't actually put in place, and we put things in place that hadn't been there. We initiated membership, invited people to come along and to a membership class, and at the end of that, to make a commitment in membership, because it was part of what the Lord was saying. It's time to rebuild the church from the ground up. So what is that word exposed in us? Are we thinking, and as a result of our thinking, our thoughts influencing our words and our actions, and will that be revealed? Is that being revealed in our habits? Are we thinking it's not time that the church should be rebuilt? What was it, Randy Tinch used to say, it's so quiet in here you can hear a mouse treading a piece of cotton. You see, as long as we think that way, we certainly won't be personally involved in the rebuilding of the church. And if we're thinking that way, I believe it's because we have the wrong understanding of I have got to, instead of being excited that we get to. You need to understand, every word the Lord brings has excitement attached to it, has life attached to it, has joy attached to it, has the opportunity to see things you'll never see any other way, has the opportunity to be involved in the miraculous, in the supernatural. I know I said this before over the years, but I believe the greatest faith statement of the New Testament is when Jesus said, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not hold out against it. I believe that's the greatest faith statement you'll find in the New Testament. Why does that require faith? Because in order for it to come to pass, there must be people who are willing to become involved in the building process. Yeah. Because the church is people.
Yeah.
Amen. And people have a will. So when Jesus said, I will build my church, that was a faith statement. He needed faith to say that because he needed people to choose to be part of that church.
Yeah.
To choose. To make him Lord of their lives, and then he can add them to the church. Because until they make that decision, they don't show up on the building site. Mm-hmm. You see, when you make that decision, you're delivered to the building site. And he's able to take you, Peter calls us living stones, and he's able to take that living stone and add you to the church. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. And some people resist that because they've got a got-to understanding instead of a get-to. Remember, we preach the kingdom, Jesus builds the church. Amen.
Amen.
But I believe for far too long there's been a tradition in place that has supported the false belief that church is actually just somewhere that you go. And even then, only when you feel like it. Because you've got, oh no, maybe, come on, maybe you woke up this morning. Maybe there's people who aren't here this morning who woke up this morning and thought, oh no, it's Sunday, I've got to go to church. And some of them well pushed through that and kind of dragged themselves along, and here we are. Some of them didn't make it. But if you're like me, I don't set an alarm on a Sunday morning because I wake up excited every Sunday morning. And I think, yes, I get to go to church today. But no, I don't think that way anymore. I wake up and I think, I get to be part of the church today.
Yeah.
Because church is not somewhere that you go. Church is something that you're a part of.
That's right.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Do you know how much of a blessing that is? Mm-hmm. Some people got that revelation. We had several people here today their name wasn't on the list. It wasn't their turn to speak. They hadn't been invited previously to, well, if you have something to share this morning. No, they just knew that they're part of something. And so they felt the freedom and the liberty that they get to impart what's in their heart. Amen. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit is able to stir their heart to recognize that they're part of something and that they've got something to bring, something to offer, something that will edify and build up, and something that will be part of what God is doing this morning here in this gathering of His people. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. So you need to understand, if you're not there when the church comes together, an important part is missing. You ever try to live in a house with no windows? I mean, where there's holes but no windows. Well, there's just no windows, no hole for the windows, and it's just dark and dismal. But if there's holes for the windows but no actual window frames and glass there, that's a pretty chilling experience. In verse 3, it goes on in Haggai chapter 1, it says, "Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled," and in the New Living Translation it says, "luxurious houses, and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." Why does he say consider your ways? Because your ways are the result of your thoughts. That's why in Isaiah 55 verses 8 to 9, the Lord invites us to start to think the high thoughts of the Lord. Because if we start to think the high thoughts of the Lord, our ways will become His high ways.
Yeah.
Because your thoughts become your words, and your words become your ways, amen, or your actions, and your ways become your habits, and your habits form your character, and your character ultimately determines your destiny. Yeah. But it begins with how you think. The Lord says, come on up, think my thoughts. If you start thinking my thoughts, you'll start acting the way I act. Your ways will become my ways. In verse 6 it goes on, it says, "You have sown much and bring in little. You eat and but do not have. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put it into a bag with holes." You see, when we think I've got to, that's low thinking. It keeps us under pressure to perform. And who knows, it's hard to keep up performance. Mm-hmm. You know, those who won gold medals at the Commonwealth Games this year and at the Olympics 2 years ago, in 10 or 20 years, they won't be winning medals anymore. Mm-hmm. Somebody help me.
Yeah.
They just won't be able to anymore. They'll be outrun by somebody else. They won't have the stamina anymore. They just won't be able to do it. They cannot keep up that level of performance. But those who wait on the Lord, they renew their strength.
Yeah.
They mount up with wings as eagles. They run and they don't get weary. Yeah. They're still winning medals. In fact, it says that those who are planted in the house of the Lord, glory to God, they flourish in the courts of our God. And they keep winning medals even in their old age.
Yeah.
So you need to move from God to the gated folks, because God to folks can't keep it up. It becomes a struggle. So then to keep up that level of commitment just becomes a struggle. So what's the point? Just ease off the gas. Ease off. We do everything with a stiff upper lip. Some of us are able to keep going a bit longer than others. The problem with a stiff upper lip is you don't look very happy about it. And then we tend towards judgmentalism and condemnation, because if you're not doing it, if I've got to do it, and you've got to do it, and if you're not doing it, then I'm here to judge you and condemn you for it. And who knows, that kind of stinking mess turns more people off than it does on. But when our thoughts arise out of "I get to," that's high thinking. And so we're empowered by grace and we're excited about everything that we do. As a result, we attract other people and we deal more in acceptance and invitation than we do in judgmentalism and condemnation. Hallelujah. See, until we realize that putting the kingdom first is a get to rather than a got to. I've got to put the kingdom first because Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. I've got to. No. We realize it's a get to. I get to seek the kingdom first. I get to go to God first for everything. I get to laugh at pain. Because he's got more than enough healing. Because he na-na-na-na-na the devil at the cross. Hallelujah. Na-na-na-na-na. Hey! Kind of exciting. Even when nobody's looking, it's still exciting. Even when you're not under pressure to perform, because you're not under pressure to perform anymore. It's real. I don't know, if I was Anna, I'd be wondering about that. I'd be thinking, what does he mean laughing at pain? Do you mean you can laugh at pain? I want to know more about that. I want to try some of that. Sounds kind of mental and crazy and off the wall, but it sounds like if it works, it's got to be something good. I don't have any masochistic tendencies whatsoever. But I have a Holy Ghost on the inside of me who tells me I can laugh at pain. Nah. Hey. Oh, hallelujah. You see, until we realize that putting the kingdom first is a get-to rather than a got-to, we're always going to come up empty, we're always going to come up frustrated, we're always going to come up unfulfilled. At the end of it all, we'll be empty and frustrated and unfulfilled time and again. Well, we might be singing, shouting 1 minute, but we'll be lying down in the depths before you know it. I said last week, if Jesus hasn't done enough to keep me high all the time, well, I had that in the pub. Temporary highs. Amen. I could find a temporary fix. I could find a temporary fix for all of my heart and everything else. It was temporary, but it was a fix. Temporary fix, but a fix. But Jesus didn't come and give me a temporary fix. He didn't come to tell me, Donnie, the good news is I'll give you some highs along the way. You'll have to spend some time in the valley as well. No, that's pub talk. When I was in the pub, I was high from Thursday night when I got my pay until this. Well, I tried to stretch it out at least into Sunday afternoon. But then I spent the rest of the week in the valley waiting for Thursday again. I even passed through the valley of despair to the extent of saying never again. But then by Wednesday, you're coming back up again. You can see light at the end of the tunnel. There's a waste packet coming. We can get high again for a few days. That's pub talk. That's nothing but what the world's got. No, my Jesus said you can be high all the time.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He who sits in the heavens laughs. He who knows he's high all the time, he laughs, even at pain. Hallelujah. Oh, it's not very religious, but it's real. Could get you stoned, but it's real. Hallelujah. Oh boy. Who knows that the early church, the first church, met in the temple courts and also from house to house? And that, you need to understand, that's always been the original vision for this church. Was to have, in fact, our church began in a house. In our house. But our vision has always been for a people meeting in a central location on a Sunday and then from house to house within local communities during the week. Keeping things at a local level. That's what we've been talking about recently, and we're going to be getting this shortly. Kingdom Impact Community Groups. Sounds fancy, doesn't it? Just means meeting from house to house during the week. I read something the other day. I just came across it, I think, on Charisma News or something. And one of the pastor of one of the largest churches in America, this is what he said. He said, last weekend, 25,000 people passed through our church meetings. Last weekend, 25,000 people attended our church services. But he said, 35,000 were in home groups during the week. So 25,000 people passed through our large gatherings over the weekend, but 35,000. He said one Sunday morning he stood up before his congregation and he said, I need 3,000 of you to volunteer to host home groups. Basically he was saying, we'll divide 25,000 by 3,000 and that'll give us 8. I'm just doing it. He never said that, I'm just doing it. And he said, much more than 3,000 people volunteer. And he said he gave them what they called the HOST model. And the HOST is just an acronym for Have a Heart for People, Open Your Home, Serve a Snack, and Turn on a Video. Have a Heart for People, Open Your Home, Serve a Snack, Turn on a Video. You mean I've got to try and have a heart for people? I've got to try and be nicer to people? No, I get to be. You mean I've got to ask people into my home? No, I get to.
Yeah.
Invite people into my home. I've got to try and think of something to make tea and coffee and try and think of something to give them with it. I get to. I'll please somebody like Sandra and do it, and Janet. It's overdo it, guys. Got to turn on a video. Got to have everything in place so they can sit and watch something in my house. Yes, why not? That's the way they did it. It's working for them. 25,000 people. You see, that what's happening in the houses is feeding into it. Jesus is building his church. See, we've been given a fullness of life to enjoy, but I'll tell you, it can only be enjoyed God's way. And that takes faith. Amen. If we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, if we realize that's a get to and not a got to, then all of the other stuff will be added to us in abundance and it will always be more than enough. Verse 7, it says, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and go up where? Where are your materials? In the valley. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified. Says the Lord. Consider your ways. Who remembers the prophetic word at the beginning of this year? 2014, a year of greater glory. They've been scratching their head wondering why that might not always seem to be happening. Well, here's the answer in verse 9. He says, you looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? You ever felt you've been blown away by something? Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. He says the answer is, God's house is in ruins. And I believe that there's a very simple correction that can change that. And that is moving from I've got to I get to. I believe that will get things back on track. It's that very simple correction. You might think, what's the big deal? What's the difference? That's just semantics. No, no, you're just playing with words. No. I want to tell you, the transition from I've got to I get to will change everything. Because the transition from I've got to I get to hooks us back up with the one who says, I'll teach you how to take a real rest. The one who says, now we can walk and work together out of that place of rest. You know, in Amos chapter 9, verse 11, it says this: in that day I will restore the fallen tabernacle of David. I will repair its damaged walls. And from the ruins, I will rebuild it and restore its former glory. If you go on in Haggai, I believe it's chapter 2, verse 9, it says that the glory of this latter temple will be greater than that of the former.
Amen.
2014, a year of greater glory, when somehow or other, down on the inside of us, there's a transaction, there's a movement from a got to mindset to a get to mindset. Remember David Rave? Nah. Hey! He didn't do anything from an attitude of I've got to, because he had the revelation of I get to. That's why the Lord says he's going to rebuild his tabernacle. He didn't say the tabernacle of Moses, that was an I've got to tabernacle. No, he's restoring the tabernacle of David, rebuilding the tabernacle of David, because that's an I get to. He had an I get to revelation, and so the celebration of God's presence in praise and worship was continuous. In David's tabernacle, there was 24/7 praise and worship, because there was a people who realized that they get to praise him.
Yeah.
Not someone who can't show up in church for, oh, it's, how long will it last? Oh, that's too long. That service this morning lasted 2 hours. That's an I've got to. And I've got to go back again next week. No, I get to. 24/7. 365. Praise him. Because he's worthy of my praise. Hallelujah. No, that's not that I've got to. It's that I get to. Jesus said that the tradition could render the word of God ineffective. And I believe that's happened. You see, when the couple of hours of I've got to go church is over, everyone just runs to his own house until the next time. But the reality is that we get to be the church 24/7.
Yeah.
We get to be the church 24/7. He says, go up to the mountains and bring wood. Gather the materials required for building the temple. Paul says that we are the temple of the living God. Individually and corporately. And so we are the raw materials. People are the raw materials. Peter says we are living stones, as I said earlier. He's on in verse 10, it says, therefore the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. We need people who come from the mountains. They're the people who've got a get-to attitude. They're the people who know, we need to establish people. You're a mountain dweller now, you're not a valley dweller. I know religion tried to tell you that you would spend most of your Christian life in the valley, but you know, you're a mountain dweller. The Lord spoke to me a few years ago. He said, the sins of the Amorites are not yet complete. You know, the Amorites, their name, one of the meanings of their name is mountain dwellers. But that Amorite attitude that just says, as long as I'm all right, you know, and I can make do with this and make do with that, blah, blah, blah. Focus, focus. Therefore, the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. Jesus said in John 7:38, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. We were singing about the river this morning. You know that river has its origins? In God's throne. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. But that river has also been, we've been connected to that river. Amen? And out of our heart, when we begin to praise him, it's that river begins to flow. You know what happens when the river begins to flow? It releases the rain. Because the moisture goes up and then it comes back down again as rain. Hallelujah. What you believe in your heart is what you will speak out of your mouth. And so the words of faith and the songs of praise will release rivers of living water that go up and come back down as rain from heaven.
Yeah.
Hosea chapter 10 verse 12 says, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. When you speak the words of the righteous, righteousness comes back down. It goes up and comes back down. Hallelujah. Listen to the next verse in Haggai. Verse 11. For I called for a drought on the land and the mountains, on the grain and the new wine and the oil, on whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock, and on all the labour of your hands. God is telling these folks that because they have lost their get to, everything around them has dried up. Because they adopted a got to rather than a get to, everything around them dried up. Where does God speak about opening heaven and restoring blessing? Well, in Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 to 14, it says, will a man rob God? It goes on, it says, you're cursed with a curse, you've robbed me. It says in verse 10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be enough room to receive it. It goes on, it says, all the nations will call you blessed. You'll be a delightful land. Verse 13, he says, your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? And you have said it is useless to serve God. I'll tell you that if I got to, mindset and attitude will always come out in the end with that judgment, with that verdict. It's useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? What does God say? He says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Into what house? Into his house. Who knows, we think of tithes simply as giving a tenth of our treasure. The treasure is not all that God has blessed us with. He has blessed us with time and with talents. He says, bring all of the tithes. Say, all of the tithes.
All of the tithes.
Tithe is the first fruits of our increase. We give a tenth of our gross and not of our net. In other words, we give to him first, not what we think that we can afford out of what's left after we've deducted everything else, but we should give to God what is right and not what is left. Amen? And that is the first fruits. We don't give because we've got to, we give because we
get to.
Get to. We don't give to get blessed, we give because we
are blessed.
That was Abraham's attitude. He said, man, I get to give something to God. Here's a tenth. The Lord said, that'll work. That'll work. So what about our time and our talent? God knows that we have responsibilities. God knows that we have families. He gave us families. He gave us families to enjoy, families to take responsibility for him, but not just as a got to, but as a get to. To enjoy. That's what he says in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus says, our Heavenly Father knows what we need, and that's why we get to seek his kingdom first, and so that we can access the supply for all of our needs. Well, here's another wee bit of arithmetic for you. There's 168 hours in a week. That includes sleeping time, because we're speaking about gross and not net. Okay? So a tenth of that would be 16.8 hours, which we could round up rather than down to 17 hours. Fair enough? I want to tell you this morning, if we were to get excited that we get to bring 17 hours a week of our time and talent into the kingdom, into the rebuilding of the Lord's house, along with a tenth of our treasure, I can guarantee you that there would never be anything that the Lord has imparted vision to us to do that we could not accomplish effortlessly. You want to see the miraculous? Exchange your got to for a get to. 17 hours. I'll do a wee bit of a homework. Tally up how many hours you sit in front of the telly or the computer over this coming week. Or doing whatever is your passion. Remember the guy who woke up yesterday morning at 5:15 because he said, I get to go fishing today. That was his passion. Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men. The other fellow should have realised that he didn't have a got to go to work. He had a get to go fishing because he was going to work fishing.
That's
Because that's where the punters were. That's where the people were he could hook with the good news, with his new attitude. He'd even hook a few bosses with his new attitude. Because he woke up and said, I get to go fishing today. Whatever it is. Not for salmon or trout or cod or anything else, but mackerel. But I get to go fishing for men today. We're better to start than where I work. I was cleaning out the study, that's a big job, I haven't got even a quarter of the way through it yet, but I came across this letter from dated 12th of December 1995. Dear Mr. Stewart, Acres Boys Club, Springfield Road, Stornoway, New Wine Church, we are informed by the committee, this is from a solicitor, we are informed by the committee for the Acres Boys Club that they are prepared to sell the above subjects to you at the price. I want to tell you, this went on the market for offers over £105,000. And the Lord said to me, he said, offer them 35. So I did. And I waited a year. And I got this letter. About a year. We are now informed by the committee from the Acres Boys Club that they are prepared to sell the above subjects to you at the price of £35,000. And we should now be grateful if you would instruct your solicitors to let us have a suitable formal offer as soon as convenient. We look forward to hearing from your solicitors in early course. You know, that building was a wonderful building. Right positioned right there between the council offices and the Nicholson Institute. It's the very site where today the new sports centre is built. And that was our building. And the council came in underneath us and took it from us. I could get into more details on that. But I want to tell you, it just struck me again, and I think this has come to me before, but again, as we were just singing and worshipping and praising the Lord this morning, this came back to me again. You know that is the site that is causing them so much headaches, because there's a campaign, an ongoing campaign. In fact, that's the reason that we are not in the town hall this morning, because of that campaign that's trying to keep that building open 7 days a week, the sports centre, which is on the site of the building that we were getting to buy, glory to God, that would have been open 7 days a week.
Yeah.
That's about as prophetic a word as you're going to hear today, by the way. You need to get a hold of that. Start thinking about that. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But also in the back of that, the council has a building.
Yeah.
And way below the going rate. Hallelujah. Come on.
Yeah.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, so when you realize you've got to get to, when the Lord speaks to you and says, hey, offer them 35,000. Oh, they might be insulted. Offer them 35,000. I wrote out a letter. I sent it to them. First they said, oh. We were banking with our church was banking with a different bank at that time. I went to see the bank manager in that bank. He laughed at me. Because I was asking for 35, never mind 105. So we changed banks. And we had favour. We had favour with our we were in business at the time, and we got favour, I don't know how, with our bank manager. He even came to the site on a Saturday on his day off and looked at the building and said, oh, this is a wonderful building. Oh, yeah. And he was going to give us the money. And then, and that's the very building that they're still fighting, all the fighting's about, because somebody wants to open it 7 days a week when there should have been a building there, glory to God. It was a beautiful building, perfect building for everything that the Lord had told us and given the vision to do. Hallelujah. It's still there. It's going to keep coming around and biting them into the hooky until they learn how to deal with it. It means, what I'm saying is, when we hook up with them, we realize, yes, it's time for the Lord's house to be rebuilt from the ground up. I get to, it's not a got to, it's I get to. I get to bring all of my tithe. I get to bring all of my life. I mean, he's only asking for a tenth of it, 17 hours. Wow. I get to bring all of my talents. I get to bring all of my treasure, a tenth of my treasure. I want to tell you, if every person gets a hold of that, moves from I got to I get to, there'll never be anything that the Lord asks us to do that we won't be able to do. There'll always be a surplus. There'll always be plenty left over. Hallelujah. And all it takes is that subtle little shift. Remember, the tithe is the minimum that we get to give. You can give more if you want. But it says in verse 12, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people reverence the presence of the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, a lot of people are under that goat too, and they have no revelation that God is with them. Because they're looking in the wrong direction. But I want to tell you, when you move from a go-to to a get-to, you get the realization he's with you. He is with you, even with your go-to. So you don't get to experience and enjoy the benefit. Like I said, even in Laodicea, Jesus showed up at church. It just happens he was on the outside, knocking, trying to get in. Jesus said that when we are gathered together in his name, for the building of his house, that he is right there in the midst of us. And when I am is with you, nothing is impossible. All of the limits are off. Verse 14, so the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua. Say, I haven't got to.
I haven't
got to. Say, I get to. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all of the remnant of the people. Remember, God doesn't finish with a remnant. He starts with one. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. What are you saying this morning? Are you feeling the pressure of I've got to?
What are you saying? What are you bringing around this for? We were high-fiving everybody last week.
I hope you're still high-fiving. Why don't we practice that? Just give everybody a high-five. Are you feeling the pressure of I've got to? Are you saying within yourself it's not time for the Lord's house to be built? Or are you ready to respond to the prophetic word? Because you're excited that you get to. I know we sat up together this morning. Are you saying it's time for the church, the Lord's house, to be rebuilt? Are you excited that you get to bring all your tithes into the storehouse, your time, your talent, and your treasure? Are you excited that you get to hear him say, I am with you? Because I want to tell you folks this morning, it's time to rebuild. It's time to rebuild. It's time to rebuild. It's time to rebuild. It's time to get reconnected and get back into the unforced rhythms of grace. I began to understand that the God who told me back in 1994, 95, you can offer these people £35,000 for their £105,000 building, and they will take it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's back in that place again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Shaka Bahasa. We need a place. We need a place where we can meet, a central point, a central location where we can meet. Glory to God, that belongs to us, that's ours. Hallelujah. We have the freedom to do whatever we need to do within that place. Glory to God, and from that place. And we need to get back to our original vision of not just meeting in the temple, but from house to house. And what happens in our local communities will feed in. Hallelujah. Not when we have a got to, but when we have to. Come on, let's say it together as we close. I haven't got to.
I haven't got to.
But I get to. Say, I haven't got to. But I get to. Come on, say, I haven't got to. But I get to. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you would come right now and stir the spirits of your people. Every one of us, Father, from Lord God, from the oldest to the youngest. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that even in our old age, Lord God, we can bring forth fruit. We can win medals. Hallelujah. That we can run and not grow weary. That we can walk and not faint. Thank you, Father God, that you are doing what you are doing, Lord. In your kingdom, Lord Jesus, you are building your church. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we go up to the mountains and bring the materials. Lord, and present our materials to you, Lord, that you may add to the church. In Jesus' name, that you may be glorified in all things. That your temple might be full of glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.